Hello and welcome to Wonder Pod. It's episode 126, and apparently I'm using my old intro again. I don't know. For those of you that were terrified by last week's show, good news, we have adult supervision back, so it's not going to help. Joining me this week, as he always does, say hello to Glacinator.
Glacinator, Glacinator? Yep, I'm here.
I haven't been drinking. Maybe I should. Maybe that's the problem. Also joining us, as he always does, he's back from his birthday shenanigans. Say hello to John.
Hey, everybody! Yeah, the birthday ribbing was pretty light, I must say. I'm happy to report that the ribbing was in fact pretty accurate, because I was at the time of the recording of the podcast, I was at a small bar downtown with my closest immediate family, and on my birthday, I had two bottles of beer, one in each hand, and having a great time listening to my uncle and my cousin performing for everybody in the bar. So it was a really good night and a really good weekend. And but that being said, I'm glad to be back.
Can they actually sing, or is it one of those drunken, hilarious train wrecks that you remind them about at every other holiday?
Oh no, they're actually quite good. They're a couple of pros.
Okay, well that's good too. It's hard for me to change. I almost thought about giving out your real age on air, but then I thought, no, he didn't do that to me. So I thought that's too far, and I'm not going to win in the end, because I'm a couple years older than John. So I thought, yeah, no. And that's pure freaking vanity on my part. It's the only reason I don't get my real age. It's 20-ish and holding. Mm. Glacinator's always still going to be the youngest, though.
You two are old farts.
No, see, Glacinator knows, too. Actually, Glacinator could deep six us both, because he should know roughly both our ages. So he could rip. That's right.
Surprised I haven't gone off your lawn yet.
That's because it's your little brother I try and keep off my lawn. It's not you. Poor Michael. Oh, what did he ever do to deserve it? Oh, I can tell you.
A lot of things.
Yeah, well, it's not really fair coming from you either. You're his brother. So, okay, between bounce. Oh, Jesus. This can't be going well. Nobody can speak English. Who wants to go first with what they've been playing? I've only played two things, and I'm going to make fun of one using the other, so mine's not going to be very fun, so... Have you been playing a lot of stuff, John, when you weren't hanging out with family? Would you like to go first?
I'll go first, but it's a bit of a repeat of what I talked about the last time I was on. So I'll just go ahead. Screw it. So because I got my iPhone most of my gaming time, I guess the first 2 weeks of owning an iPhone are the worst 2 weeks for the novelty of it and trying out games and downloading stuff. So Pat seems to be drawing it out pretty well with his free and cheap-ass game recommendations for it. But I've been playing some games with some friends of mine online, and as much as I didn't really want to give Zynga my money, I did. And I got myself Draw Something and Words with Friends, which is a couple of games that are, you know, based on other popular board games. So Draw Something is basically Pictionary. Words with Friends is basically Scrabble. But what's kind of cool about them is that they're both asynchronous multiplayer. So that means you can take your turn in Scrabble, put down your word, and go for the high score. And then it sends your play to your friend, who then, you know, gets a small alert on their phone and then can decide, you know, when they have a spare moment or right away, whatever they want to do, and then they can play their next turn and so on back and forth. And then, you know, you play the game and you try to win. And so it's all, you know, it's very simple but effective fun for your mobile. And it makes a lot of sense in terms of that platform. And it's all on the go. And you know, you always have your phone with you and stuff. It's the kind of gaming that I just I don't understand why Nintendo hasn't taken advantage of it in some form for the DS. Because there's no voice chat. Even with friend codes, it would seem to be an easy fit. You know, I mean, I don't know how many people have a lot of friends in their DSs. Maybe that's the problem. I don't know, but it's definitely the kind of game that would maybe spur you to to have more friends on your DS for that kind of gameplay, especially with the 3DS where it's always on now and always online if you keep your wireless on. So it makes a lot of sense to me. Otherwise, I've been playing some of the games I mentioned before, especially Tiny Wings, the game with the bird that kind of who can't fly, and you have to help them swoop through these valleys of these hills so it gets a little momentum and flies through the air. I've been playing that one probably the most next to the Jetpack Joyride, which I mentioned before. And those games are just great time wasters. And the way they both have this objective system built in so that it's more than just trying to get the furthest distance and in terms of Jetpack Joyride, collect the most coins. The objectives like in Tiny Wings, for example, trying to get to the fifth island without going into fever mode, which is what happens when you do three really good jumps in a row. Just different little skills. What is that? Skills, little tasks, or challenges to help help you feel like you're progressing. So it's really good and really addictive that way. But other than my iPhone games, I've been the other night because it was my birthday weekend, I guess, and we had the family get-togethers and stuff like that. I didn't have any time to have an out and out party with my friends, and I had some friends who were wondering if I was going to have a party, so I decided to have a rock band party and invite a bunch of friends over. We had about 10 to 11 or 12 people here, I think. And what we did was we set up five song set lists, passed the instruments and the microphone around, and just played all night. And we had a really great time. It didn't hurt that I bought Rock Band Blitz the other day when it came out. And what's cool about Rock Band Blitz is that you can play it as is with a controller, and it's kind of like Frequency or Amplitude. It's kind of a hybrid where I haven't played much of it, admittedly, but what it is kind of you have five tracks for the different instruments, and you can flip back and forth by pressing the bumpers, and so you can play guitar for a little while, play drums for a little while, and the button presses are very simple. You just use the analog stick for the left note, the A button for the right note in the trail, and you try to build up multipliers for all the instruments before the end of the song, and so to get points. So it's really a points-based game, trying to beat your friends and get high scores. So I'll probably talk about that a bit more next week. But an added bonus to the Blitz is that it comes with, I think, 20 songs. And when you buy the game, every one of those songs is exportable into Rock Band 3. So I got a pretty hefty track pack of some pretty decent songs. And so that helped out with our party for Rock Band. Yeah, I'm not really going to comment much about the game because I've already talked about it at length. But we played Rock Band from 9:30 until 2:30 in the morning, and luckily my wife was kind enough that she went to bed early so she could wake up early with Peter, because no matter how many games of Rock Band I play during the night, he'll still wake up at 7 a.m. So she let me sleep in, and yeah, it was a great time. And yeah, that's about it. It was just been a good weekend overall.
Thank you. You just gave me an idea for a discussion topic for next week. And no, I will not tell you what it is. But it is involving Nintendo. Oh. You also reminded me that Rock Band Blitz came out, and I may want to check that out. Glazinator.
Oh, I'm not to cut you off, Glaze, but one more thing. If you have any downloaded songs for Rock Band 3, you can play them in Rock Band Blitz. So if you have a decent library, you already have a pretty decent library for Blitz.
Yeah, I don't own any rhythm games because I suck at them. But Blitz isn't going to make me necessarily buy a plastic guitar, so I'm probably going to try it out.
Right on.
So you see what I'm saying? Like I've got Boom Boom Rocket, and I play that because it allows me to use a controller. That was always my problem with rhythm games. Is I suck at them, not quite as bad as I do at fighting games.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a little better at them than I am a platformer, so it's kind of in between those two. But I just never could wrap my head around spending that much money for something that I wasn't sure I was going to get a ton of use out of.
Yeah, that makes sense.
It's kind of the thing. Okay, sorry, Glaze. Yes. Now, what have you been playing this week?
Well, John actually stole my what I've been playing, and what I've been playing this whole week, pretty much every evening, is Rock Band as well. And my roommate is a huge Rock Band nerd. He has all the Rock Bands. He's got all the different equipment. I mean, he has the pro guitar. He has the keyboard. He's got I'm not sure if he has two bass pedals, but I think he might for the drums. But I'm looking at the PS3 right now and how many songs he has. Right now he has 506 songs, both from Rock Band 2, Rock Band 1. I'm not sure if you can import from Rock Band 1, but a bunch of DLC songs as well. And so he's been downloading songs like crazy these past few days. And we got like the Portal song on here. We got like This Is My Horse. My Horse Is Amazing. Take On Me. The Rickroll song. You know, like all kinds of random stuff that you wouldn't think you'd be playing a Rock Band, but he downloaded it. So we've been going off on that all week, and I'm taking up a liking to the drums. I used to not like them that much during 2, which I have 2 back in my house. But now that I understand how to properly use the bass pedal, where you leave your foot down and then bring it up and bring it down again when you want to hit an orange bass pedal note instead of having your foot up the whole time, it's a lot easier to go through songs. So I've been playing a lot of he has the Who Halftime Show, which is like a 20-minute long song. And so I've been practicing drums on that song because it's just really fun to play. And also I've been doing a lot of the keyboard for Rock Band. And I can actually play piano in real life. I took lessons when I was 6 to when I was 12. So I have sort of an idea of what I'm doing. But it's still a little awkward because the keys feel sort of smushed together. Plus that the way that they determine which note you're playing, it's straightforward, but it's a little awkward to someone that knows how to actually read music. But I'm getting used to it. All the Doors songs are really fun to play with keyboard. All that like jazzy electric organ stuff is really fun to, you know, just do like little trills on. So yeah, Rock Band is amazing. I have to agree with John, and that's what I've been playing.
You also play a little bit of guitar, don't you? So you kind of know the real and the plastic instruments. The difference between them, don't you?
By a little bit of guitar, I mean it's extremely little bit. I know like 2 songs and like 5 chords, and that's about it.
That's more Green Day, the actual band. What surprises me with you guys, though, is I wouldn't think A-ha and Rick Astley. Like, John and I were not even John and I were not even teenagers when either of those came out.
You got the Rickroll meme, you know, so it's always on. It was really big a few years ago where you'd link to a video.
Yeah. No, I know.
And you know, Take On Me was in Saints Row. And
yep.
So it's stuff like that, stuff from other things in media where you hear these songs that my generation knows, not necessarily from the song itself.
Okay. I always get in trouble because I go, what's the best video game music? Oh, Saints Row. 2 and 3.
What? Oh, we have Sister Christian too. We've done as well.
Oh yeah. But a lot of gamers will go, "What? That GTA clone? What the fuck's wrong with you?" Dude, it's got like the most well-fitting music of any game. Like, I had forgotten about Butthole Surfers. There's so many jokes there. But there's one of their songs, and I mean, they're a California-ish band. They were part of the New Wave Punk thing that produced the Red Hot Chili Peppers, No Doubt, in its original form. And a bunch of other, you know, things with that crazy bastard Henry Rollins in it when he was in Black Flag. So, I wonder how much of this is going over so many people's heads. Don't care. Because we're talking about what we want to goddamn talk about. Anyway, Saints Row 3 has one of the Butthole Surfers songs in it. I don't think it has Social Distortion in it, but it should. That would be another good band for Rock Band for Saints Row 3. But yeah, so I kind of get what you're talking about, but it's still cool. Well, maybe not with A-ha. I don't know. A lot of that's really cheesy these days. That's kind of why Rick Astley became Rickroll.
I don't know, but the cheesy factor is a fun factor.
Are those fun songs like the ones that were like slow dance, junior high school slow dance in the God? Yeah, I just pretty much gave away my, because that's what Sister Christian was for like people who are older than John and I, or I've been told about it, because that's what it was. I'm sorry, I just got this image of like 80s teenagers dancing really badly because they were white people. They're not like firsthand memories of mine, I promise you. Some old person told me about them. Anyway, they're cheesy now. But I was just about to ask you, John, are those fun to play on Rock Band, even though you knew people that lived through that era?
So some of them are not difficult. So if you're looking for, if you enjoy Rock Band, those kinds of games, because you like the difficulty, lots of notes and lots of challenge. Not so much, but if you're just there, like singing along with the music and just enjoying it, it's just great fun.
Yeah, cool. At least those songs are living on in a capacity that's not where they're the butt of jokes. I also learned something else already in the show, and we're only 10-15 minutes in. Is it meme or mem? What the hell is the proper way to say that?
I say meme.
I'll be damned.
I had to do a seminar in college on memes.
You're fucking shitting me.
I'm not. Really? It's meme, I can assure you. I'm certified memologist.
Somebody is a bit bitter and pissed off. I can tell by the tone of his. Glacier, I'm convinced, does get mad occasionally.
I'm not mad.
I've heard him scream at his brother on Xbox Live. I know it's possible.
That's different. I can yell at him at will.
I know. I have siblings, or I have a sibling. But you could just tell by his voice that he would rather have looked up how to hit yourself in the face with a frying pan than memes. At least they weren't dirty. You could have been researching two girls, one... Now, I bet there's a college class that somebody's had to research two girls, one cup.
I hope not.
I bet you... Again, it's the internet. I bet you there is.
Rule 34 class? Is that like the humanities department?
Oh, the humanity.
This guy.
Who would... Wow, Glacinator going with the really old school. I was going to make a Hindenburg joke. What it went well with after you got freaked out about me saying balls last week, going, no, like soccer balls, footballs, golf balls, my balls. No, anyway. There, I got that joke out. I forgot. I wanted to do it last week and then didn't. Shit. What the hell have I been playing? I've been playing two things. And Glacinator, you may want to cover your ears if you're still... Apparently, we're both hardcore Minecraft fanboys, so according to everybody else. So you might want to cover your ears because I'm not happy about Minecraft. I'm happy about part of it. The multiplayer is awesome because Matt, Glacinator's buddy, is a cool dude and somehow cobbled together an awesome server box that works really, really well. The problem is my single player works like multiplayer used to when it was laggy and full of code holes. In fact, I feel like I'm on a crappy server when I'm playing single player. Not that our server was ever crappy. It wasn't. That's not good, but what really did in Minecraft for me for a while until they decide what they're going to do to make single player run a little better, if they ever do anything, was, okay, I've been playing Minecraft some on the server and off, and I've been playing Guild Wars 2. Mostly Guild Wars 2. Now, I'm not going to bore you to death with a lot about Guild Wars 2, but here's the problem. If I run Guild Wars 2 and my web browser, which is Chrome with a couple extensions, they both work together fairly well. I can alt-tab out of Guild Wars 2, look up something on Chrome, go back. I can't do that with Minecraft and my browser. Tells me that Minecraft is wasting a lot of my resources, mostly memory, and that shouldn't happen because Guild Wars 2 is a AAA level title and looks a shit ton better than Minecraft does. So I think there's still a few kinks in the code with this whole slapping Minecraft single player on top of multiplayer, because I cannot. And my computer is not a piece of shit. It's actually a pretty decent computer. But there's some issues there still to be worked out. But I know it's possible. You just have to have hardware that's double what you should need to run Minecraft, apparently. So I've been playing a little bit of that. Nothing too specific. Guild Wars, what I'm going to talk about this week with Guild Wars 2 is the stuff I'm not really too fond of. I was going to talk about how I'm not fond of crafting, but then... some things changed and I learned some tips and tricks, and I'm really actually happy with crafting, and it's amazing. I'm heterosexual. Maybe I'm not, because I really like making stuff. I really like arts and crafts, and that's what it feels like. I hate that they call MMO stuff crafting, because it feels like I'm back in first grade. But I don't have any big issue with that. What I do have an issue with the game, and the hardcore Guild Wars people don't like it when I say this, so I'll apologize to any of you that now know me through Guild Wars and are listening to this show. Right. I do not like the fact that when you go to a low-level area, you are now reduced to that same level. Now, for those of you that aren't MMO heads, here's what I'm talking about. If I go to an area that's like meant for level 6 people, even though my character is level 35, I will be lowered to level 6 while I'm in that area. Now, I don't think this is unique to Guild Wars, but it's the first time I've ever really had to deal with it in an MMO that I've played for any length of time, and I'm not a fan of it. It does add more challenge, and it does allow people to actually combat big bosses and big enemies and instances without a bunch of high-level people coming in there and making it easy for them, also known as power leveling. That said, there's an extremely large part of me that doesn't like it because I earned all the levels. And so to be able to go to a lower level area and collect materials I need for crafting without it being a major pain in the ass is kind of frustrating and kind of annoying. I figured out a way to make it work for me. The only other problem is they keep introducing new builds to the game, and it seems to make it more laggy. I'm not sure that they need to keep messing with the builds. I think we've got a good one right now. Stop monkeying with it unless you're closing exploits and loopholes, which I do want to talk about super quick, and then I'm done, because it's literally the only two things I played this week. I'm sorry, people. There's been some uproar about certain people being banned for exploits. But here's the thing. If you got banned once for something that could potentially wreck the in-game economy, and I'm not talking about real dollar stuff. I'm talking just about in the game. Because when there's one super powerful weapon, and on average there's like two or three of them per server, and suddenly there's 30 of them, that kind of tends to unbalance the game. But my bottom line point is if you got banned once for it for like 72 hours and didn't learn your lesson, don't cry to me about a permanent ban. You got what you asked for. It was explained to you what you did. And on top of that, if you broadcasted how to do this exploit on something like Twitch TV or some other streaming service like Ustream, there are consequences for your actions. No matter how you look at life, there are consequences for your actions. And so the people whining about class action lawsuits and all this shit can piss off. Now we'll see how many people I've made mad and if I get kicked out of a guild over this. But I'm sorry, if it's an exploit, if it's something that's taking advantage of the game, badly advantage of the game, you probably shouldn't be doing it. And you should understand that the reason you got banned is because you're a dumb shit. Okay. So get ready, folks, because from now until the end of our year recording, there's going to be a potential big event, and there's going to be nothing but me talking about Guild Wars 2. I'll be lucky at this point if I buy Halo 4 and Medal of Honor Warfighter. But it's not that it's addictive. I don't play that many hours a day, but it's that engaging and fun. It's the first MMO I've ever played where I've only legitimately had like two bitches about it. And both of those you can overcome. I've been stunned at how well ArenaNet's put this game together. And I promise, as we go on, unlike potential other things, as we go on, I will talk about it less. It's only been 2 weeks. I think most of the fever is out of my system now, and I'll just go into a routine of playing it for a few hours, hopping on Xbox Live and just that and the other thing. Maybe I should probably hop on Xbox Live for that thing I can't tell you about that I may be doing or probably not doing that I haven't been paying any attention to. So that's what we've been playing. Have you played single player much with Minecraft Glace, or what little time you've had you've played it multiplayer?
I haven't touched single player since I did that video I uploaded like a year ago.
Yeah, that's probably for the best, because you know how I used to grump and bitch about when I jump and try and put blocks down, you know, like to, you know how you use dirt blocks as kind of a poor man's ladder?
Yeah, they would disappear.
Right. It's doing that to me in single player now. And that's just not right. I'm sorry. I want to give Mojang the benefit of the doubt. I don't want to call them EA and say they're being lazy bastards, because I don't think they are. I think it's more a case of they just didn't understand the potential. But this is no joke, and you got to understand, the servers in Louisiana, I'm on the West Coast. Matt has done, I can't say this enough, an awesome job. I don't know what kind of rig he had to cobble together, but it works better now. The server works better now than my single player does. Hmm. Yeah. And I can tell you right now, an i5 processor and an Intel with eight gigs of memory and very low memory usage when a game's not being played, I shouldn't be having these issues from what I can figure out.
I mean, I'm way too emotionally, mentally invested in the multiplayer server to even attempt to build anything in single player anymore. So I haven't touched it at all.
I'm getting there. I mean, obviously I got sidetracked by Guild Wars 2, but I'm getting there, but I still like to experiment in single player so that I don't leave random lumps of half-finished stuff like around the multiplayer server that I no longer like, but I'm too lazy to take down because they're ugly. I mean, it took me forever to take down that glass pyramid, and I hated that thing from day one, from the day I built it. So, all right, let's move on to something else. We're going to talk about Steam's Greenlight again. Partly because Glacinator and I didn't know about it because the news broke and we did the RSS roulette. Oh, God, what are those two talking about last week? So we're going to talk about it. Now, John, are you aware at this point what Greenlight is, or do I need to give you a brief overview? We talked about it roughly last week.
It's a system that they have that you can vote. I mean, I've seen it on Steam where you can vote for the games that should appear on Steam in the future.
Yeah, and you should all go vote for Mutant Muds and Data Fighter. Data Fighter, just because I'm being nice. Glacinator can tell you why I'm being nice, because I like giving our huge audience to two dudes who seem really cool. Okay, so now are you both aware, because people started putting sex simulators and games that weren't games on there, that they have increased the fee, or they have made a fee of $100 to be able to put your game on there?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. First off, John, since you weren't here last week, and Glace and I really didn't get into this, what do you think of this concept? And have you looked through some of the games, voted on any, that whole thing?
I think it's a very interesting concept, in that it might give a chance to people who wouldn't normally have the exposure for their game, like they made it a quality product, to get in front of people's eyes and hopefully get some votes. But I think it's also, as we'll get into with this fee business, there's definitely some chance for some trollers to really play some jokes and make things a little annoying. but I think it's definitely a cool idea, and you know, one of those things that's kind of the Steam kind of does, to put it back into the customer's hands.
Well, the internet ruins everything within 0.38 seconds of it being released. Otherwise, that's just the way it works. Re-edit and N4G wouldn't exist if those people didn't have a home. That's right, I'm bashing re-edit again. Piss off. Glacinator, first off, did you download Mutant Muds for 3DS after the show last week?
No, I forgot to, but...
I don't care. I just was curious. Second, after we talked about it, what do you think of this green light? Obviously, some buddies of yours or people that are at your college are using it. What do you think of it overall, and have you looked at any of the games yet?
I haven't looked at it extensively too much, but from what I've seen, it looks pretty interesting. I think there are a few Mac games that are even on the website now, which makes me excited because I finally get something to play. So I'm looking forward to having things to do.
Yes. Now we come to the $100 fee, because there were people trolling and people being jackasses. Although, after hearing about the I don't know if you listened to the show at all last week, John. You don't need to say either way. It's fine. but Glacinator showed me this baby launching game. I have not downloaded it on Xbox Live yet either. I'm still tempted to. So there is a seedier side to the XBL indie section. There are some dating sims that are rather crude and ridiculous. My thing is if you can afford a computer to run Unity and to build games of this caliber, then a $100 fee is not the egregious, heavy-handed, reckless barrier that some of the indie, we need a reason to be victims crowd is screaming and bellyaching that it is. $100 is still a significant amount of cash, but if you're passionate about what you created and if you really believe in what you created, even though it is kind of a, you know, arena style environment to check these, or, you know, to get these games on Steam through voting, then you are also passionate and dedicated enough to find a way to cobble together $100, which in this economy, this day and age, even in this economy, is not huge. I would bet it's significantly less than trying to get on full-blown Xbox Live Arcade or even going through the hoops of getting to Xbox Live's indie section, although I'm talking out my ass on that one because I have no concept of what the process is for the latter. There, I've said it. Because I'm really teed off at some of these jerks that are just using way too big of words for their brain power to bash Steam for daring to put a barrier to the indie crowd. Glacinator, we'll start with you since this is the, you know, probably something you'd be interested in too. Are you upset about the barrier? Do you not care about the barrier? Or are you like me, a jackass about the barrier?
I don't have a problem with the barrier itself, but I do have a problem with it being $100. I completely understand why they put the barrier there in the first place. I mean, there are people putting joke games up and stuff that didn't really make any sense. But I don't think – I think $100 might be a little too much. I mean, because the main point of having the barrier there is to, you know, just stop people from trolling the site. And you don't have to have you don't have to go all the way up to $100 to do that. You could just have it around $20 to $30. And I think that would probably stop like 90% of all the jokester stuff that's gone up there. And then once you have all that gone, the community can easily downvote the stupid stuff to oblivion. So while I have no problem with the barrier, I do think it should be lowered.
No, $100 is fine. I'm going to be old man. Okay. I'm going to be old man. I see your point, but I just, it's $100. I'm a dirtbag and I probably can afford
it. And I say it's $100.
Yeah. Well, that's two different. Yes. We rich farming types in this. we're just swimming in fucking cash. Anyway, that's right. It's the 1% versus the 99%. fuck. John, save me. Do you have an issue with the barrier, neutral to the barrier? Start talking so I can shut the hell up.
I think that it's too bad that it's that there's some sort of mechanism that has to be put in place to stop or hopefully quell the efforts of the trollers. But the way I see it is that it's a barrier to remove a barrier. I mean, if you can remove I have to imagine there has to be an awful lot of these jokes and joke games and things that are just not real or not serious. So if you're serious about your game, you're going to pay the $100. And why wouldn't you want to remove that noise just so that your game comes more to the forefront than having to deal with a pile of Half-Life 3 jokes and games that aren't real?
Back over to you, Mr. Animal Lover, Animal Crossing loving 99%er. Isn't that true what John just said? And it also allows me to be a dick again. Doesn't the $100 barrier kind of help make your game stand out a little more because there's going to be less crap and more cream?
Yeah, but I think you do the same thing by lowering it to $30. It would do the same thing, because I think the people that are just joking around because it's free. So, I mean, any price is going to deter a large amount of people.
Did I seriously say crap and cream? Or was that? Or was I imagining things? It was so hard not to laugh.
I think you did.
Jesus. To quote the British, I've gone around the twist. I could see 50. I tell you what, I'm such a magnanimous Republican bastard, which I'm not. I could see 50. I could probably feel comfortable with 50.
All right, I'll compromise with that.
Okay.
That seems fair.
That's the problem with this show. We all get along too fucking well. But but I think that I think we all agree there has to be some kind of barrier. And you know, and that's the here's my other bitch and why I was I'll tell you, some doofus wrote a opinion piece on computer and video games, and it set me off. That's why I was using all those big terms at the start of this discussion topic, because the guy was being a fucking pretentious douchebag. The problem here is, bash Steam if you want for the price, but it's not Steam's fault. And I'm getting a little tired of this to a certain extent in the video game community, that, you know, how come we're not hammering the people who are being dicks? There I go again. You know, I think that's my other issue, is I'm okay with giving Steam gruff for the price, but can we please direct some of the bile at the jerks who forced it to happen? You guys, I'm sure, kind of agree with that too, don't you? Maybe. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, that's been our discussion topic. Actually, before we wrap it up completely and move on, check it out, because there are some pretty cool games. By the way, I upvoted all the Mac games. I didn't even look at what they were. I saw they were for Mac, and I just uploaded them.
Yay!
Well, that's the reason, but again, I suppose that is kind of also abusing the system, too. So if anyone from Valve's listening to this, I didn't do that.
It needed to be done.
Definitely. Definitely didn't.
No, never. Uh-oh. Okay, let's move on. It's Uncle G, but there's some issues. I think things may be changing, but I'm not sure. Change could be afoot. That's right. I'm talking like a British person. Get over it. Take it away, Uncle G. We'll see what's going to happen.
Greetings, WPO. Technically challenged Uncle G here. Audio Master G says he's too busy with some audio project, but is tight-lipped as to what it is. I'm seeming to be getting some line noise on my phone today. I don't know if you guys can hear it. It's okay, kind of a fucking weird connection, I suppose, so let's just get this over with.
Cybernaut G, running out of power. Hello?
Today I want to talk about an article I came across. It's called Popular Video Game World of Warcraft Interrupted by World of Politics. It's from the Associated Press. London, England, an employee of the Activision Blizzard gaming company says U.S. sanctions are to blame for locking Iranian players out of the popular online fantasy role-playing adventure World of Warcraft. Iranians have spent much of the week peppering the company's message board with complaints about how they are unable to connect to the massive multiplayer game, which boasts more than 9 million subscribers worldwide. A message recently left on the forum by a Blizzard employee says that the company had tightened up its procedures to ensure compliance with U.S. sanctions. The post went on to explain that players connecting from the affected nations are restricted from access to Blizzard games and services. Repeated calls and emails to Joni Bryant, Blizzard's UK press representative, went unanswered on Tuesday. So, what do you guys think about this? Is this going too far to include gaming as part of diplomatic sanctions? Or is it a legitimate issue considering that Blizzard is providing a service to the citizens of Iran and therefore would fall under the category? If you agree with Blizzard, can you think of a situation where you would argue they would be going too far? If you disagree with Blizzard, explain what differentiates online servers as a service and why it should not follow suit with U.S. sanctions.
Anybody hear us?
Sorry about all the static and fuzz, and have fun with my political question. Hopefully, though, Audio Master G will return next week or later.
I think I have about a week of power left, and then
Hey there, old Uncle G. Some real static going on there in your recording there. Real weird. I don't know what's going on. I don't know who that could be. Sounded like a voice from the past. Anyway, to answer your question about the Iranian Blizzard sort of controversy there, part of my job is, or and part of my previous work I've done is compliance testing, compliance work for environment. I work in the lab, people. So the complying with the government is important, so that you have to make sure that you follow the rules. So part of my thoughts on this story is that Blizzard are basically following the rules of of these sanctions. If you're not supposed to do it, well, then you probably shouldn't do it, or else you're going to get into some amount of trouble. So it's unfortunate that there's gamers that are not getting to play the game that they want to play, and maybe even have paid for it. I'm not sure if this means that they had to cut service from people or what, but it's unfortunate. But as a business, I don't think Blizzard want to get themselves in trouble and keep themselves from servicing their other 9 million users or whatever there are right now in that game. So yeah, I don't see that much of a problem with what they're doing. How about you, Glaze?
I can understand like what you said, why they're doing this. I mean, I think it's severely stupid, because I'm always someone for free trade, free markets, yada yada yada. I don't want to get into all that, but I understand that Blizzard is a company and they want to have a good image, and so they probably don't want to necessarily get a lot of press on their hands for having a possible like Al Qaeda relationship and that going all over the news. That's probably the last thing they would want. So I mean, this is obviously in Blizzard's best interest just to stop doing this and dissociate themselves. It's terribly unfortunate, but I can't really see any other way around this besides having a huge hubbub news article about this.
Only because right-wing morons. By the way, just for the record, also because I'm eating salami and cheese because I'm starving, I hate politics in general. If you're hardcore leftist or hardcore rightist, you can get the fuck off my planet. But still, this would be a right-wing moron issue. And they would be the ones to throw a fit about it. Personally, Blizzard, and I know you're owned by Activision, evil, who knows, Octopus Man, you need to grow a set of balls. Yeah, I said it again. And let poor bastards in Iran have their gaming. Yes, is it breaking sanctions? But it's not like the auction house has barrels of crude oil on it that they can smuggle out to fund their nuclear program. I understand the PR aspect of this, but this is one of those PR things where it's worth taking the lumps to help the common man, because that's the thing. I mean, if you look at what happened, Uncle G, and like what's happening in Syria, what happened in Egypt, what happened in Libya, those were people actually making change. Politicians don't bring change. The people do. And all you're hurting with this is the average person in Iran, who I would bet you anything is nothing like their batshit eating insane leadership. So for me personally, I think Blizzard should just grow a set and let them have their wow. Although this brings up an interesting point, gentlemen. Could you imagine if they did this to China?
Yeah,
the end of the world would happen.
There would be a revolution. Not to get rid of communists, but to invade America so they can have Blizzard back. So there you go, Uncle G. The audio transmission was fine, but I am a little concerned what's happening, man. I know you're a little technically challenged, but hopefully we'll hear from you soon. And now we're going to move on. There's no news this week. So in an effort to make a complete mess, you know how hard it is to talk with salami in your mouth?
That's what she said.
Thank you. I've been told a couple times in the last few months that I'm a little hard on game developers. Which isn't surprising because I'm a little hard on everybody. Nobody is safe on this show as far as I'm concerned. The developers, publishers, gamers, myself. So what I thought we'd do tonight for fun, this is kind of like the marry, shoot, or hit in the face with a shovel, or however we did that, so it was kind of PG-13. We're going to attempt to create a game. Now, it's not obviously going to be a game, but it's going to take three very different gamers and attempt to make the rough skeleton of a game. This could either be the most boring 30 minutes in podcasting history, or it could be highly entertaining and amusing. The good news is we're all going to find out together because we don't rehearse shit on this show and we have no concept of what's going to happen. Here's what I want to do. Let's start with a genre. Or do we really need to pick a genre in this day and age? John, what do you think? Do we need a genre, or can we skip it or not deal with it?
It seems like everybody wants to categorize things, so I would say, yeah, a genre, or maybe a, dare I say, blend of genres.
Ooh, I already like that. I like the way you're thinking, but we'll get back to specifically what you mean by blending genres. Glacinator, what do you think of the genre?
I'd rather go undefined and see how weird it can get before we decide what it is.
You do understand that going weird is right into my wheelhouse, and there's no telling where that's going to go.
Exactly.
Okay. He's encouraging me. This is not good. Okay, so if we were going to blend a genre, because I'm kind of in Glazenator's camp of undefined genre, outside of insane, what would, in your mind, John, would be a good blended genre for us to attempt?
Ooh, to attempt. Like, I'll just give you an example of what I popped in my brain was the game Puzzle Quest. If you've ever played that, how that's kind of like it's a light RPG built around a puzzle game, kind of, you know, that was kind of a blending that I was thinking of. I don't know. That's what you were like. I don't think we want to get into a puzzle game here, of course, but
the, yeah, that's gonna make for great radio.
Yeah, we'll have the gems turn red when we get them three in a row.
Oh, fascinating.
I think the only way we could be worse is if we attempted to create something that's going to compete with Bejeweled or Peggle.
Yeah. So, yeah. Okay. So no.
But you guys got to visualize the backgrounds. They'd be so cool as balls are flying everywhere. What is with me and balls the last couple of weeks? Jesus.
Oh no.
Okay. it's not going to get any better. Glacinator, what genre would you consider Animal Crossing? I'm not setting you up either, by the way, for once.
A casual simulation.
So yeah. What about like a simulation RPG? Because here's the thing, Glace, and I know you kind of want to do undefined, and I do to a certain extent. And no, I'm not doing the naked midget crossing thing. That's not where this is going, so stop it. I told him before the show we were going to do a naked midget simulation game. It's going back to Cargo, the quest for gravity, we're not. Because this is your opportunity to make an RPG that you and Pat would actually play.
Ah.
See? What do you think of that, John? Like a simulation RPG. So its focus would be casual.
I could dig that.
Holy shit. that I did have some preconceived thoughts before we started this, like Naked Midget Crossing. this is totally off the top of my head, because when you said blending and you said, and we know your love of Animal Crossing and how much I hate it. Okay, so we're going to do like a simulation RPG. So that gives you a lot of space to develop. So we'll skip mechanics, but I think we could all agree that the mechanics, I shouldn't say we all agree. Let me ask, the mechanics should be simple in my mind. It should be simple and make good use of both of the console buttons. Don't you agree? Or what do you think about mechanic wise?
This is a console game.
Well, we're gonna say console because you can change keyboard mapping. Like, you know, game I play on PC, I change the keyboard mapping. So, but you understand what I'm saying? Like, okay, it's not so much game mechanics. We'll get to that, like, specific thing here in a minute. Like, will they be able to jump or not be able to jump? But I'm talking, like, the button mapping should be simple on the mechanics aspect. Like, A should be jump. Shoulders should be something you don't use very often. You kind of agree with that concept in theory. Again, remember, this is all theory.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I mean, the I picture the GameCube controller, you know, how it had that the A was a huge giant button, and a lot of things were relegated to the A button because it was so huge, you know.
So you kind of good with that too, Glaze?
Yep, sounds good.
Okay, so now mechanically part two, should our little theory people be able to jump or not jump? Because they're, you know, that's kind of a point of contention sometimes with gamers.
Wait, is this 2D or 3D?
Ooh.
There's a top down.
I didn't think about that. Good catch. Okay, before we get into the mechanics of it then, are you taking notes, John, or should I start?
I'm taking some notes.
Okay, yeah, well, we'll cobble it back together later. Good enough.
Okay.
At least hit the highlights, like simulation RPG, because that was one I know it's probably been done, but I was really impressed with that. I thought, wow, that's cool. I don't really have a particular. I'm not a huge fan of top-down. I think we should more focus on 2D or 3D at first. Which do you guys prefer?
I'd say 3D, because if you go with 2D, and there's, I know it's RPG, so there's any grinding aspects, it's going to be extremely boring in 2D compared to 3D.
Yeah, I don't think that this game, if we're going to go towards a game that is quote-unquote casual, you know, wide appeal, I think avoiding first-person 3D would be a good thing. Watching my wife try to wander around in Oblivion when she was trying to learn how to look around and walk around at the same time was a bit of a ordeal for her, so to speak.
And she shouldn't feel bad, because even someone like me who plays a lot of RPGs, I have issues sometimes with that first person, third person. Okay, so we're doing something that's a little broader, potentially open world. I would think the happy medium for to where you could satisfy hardcore gamers and satisfy casual gamers would be first person, third person optional, like the Elder Scrolls series.
Mm-hmm.
Or could we get away with top? And this is a question for you guys, because I get confused sometimes about the mechanics of the art. Can you do top down 3D?
I mean, RTSs are like that, aren't they?
Yeah, but are they really true 3D, though, is the thing.
I mean, they're three-dimensional models. I mean, it's not a three-dimensional world.
Okay, so which do you guys prefer, then? Okay, well, fuck it, we're inventing this. So, which do you prefer? First-person, third-person, interchangeable, you know, you can switch them, or top-down?
See, the beauty about it, top down, if we're trying to focus on casual, the common guy or gal, at least with the top down, you can avoid the analog stick, the second analog stick for looking around, right?
Well, we're not necessarily focusing on casual, but simulation does tend to, like Animal Crossing does tend to be more casual-ish, but I know a shit ton of hardcore players that played that damn game. They may not admit it on record, but but I know they exist. The top down does eliminate the camera, and the camera can be a nuisance even to somebody like me. Glaze,
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
What do you think on that, Glaze?
What if it's top down and you can press in the joystick to go into first person if necessary.
Oh, you mean like the button that's actually on the analog sticks?
Yeah.
Ooh. We think, John. I like that.
That could be interesting. That could be pretty interesting. At least it would mix things up.
The only frustrating thing that can come from that is, I think it was the Driver San Francisco demo that the nitrous was the stick button. And when I'm playing a driving game, I tend to hammer on my analog sticks pretty hard. So I would hit the nitrous going into like a horseshoe corner. It didn't work super well for me. So there is that to think about. Okay, so far we got a simulation-esque RPG, but it's probably not going to end up... I laugh when you say grinding elements, because Glacinator, we're designing it. There doesn't have to be grinding elements. top-down 3D. They will jump. And I don't know if you guys... I'm not sure, because you guys don't play RPGs, or John, you don't play them as often as I do. That has been a bone of contention, because like in Kingdom of Amalur Reckoning, there was no jump.
Hmm.
And there's been some other games, and I think even some that weren't RPGs, that there was no jump. And it was somewhat annoying, but some people really lost their shit over it.
Yeah, I mean, from a Western RPG, there was no jumping in Mass Effect.
Oh, that's right. That was the one that did slightly annoy me. Yeah, Mass Effect.
You could climb some stuff, but you couldn't jump.
Okay. Okay, what else should we do? Okay, now comes the fun-ish part. Now, Glaze, if we're not going to, and this is still actually kind of on mechanics, if we're going to avoid the things that irritate you, and we know that there are quite a number of other people that don't like this either, about RPGs, what elements, either from other games or in addition to RPG-like elements, could we add to this game to make it so you didn't feel like you were grinding or trudging or the pace was moving quick enough for you?
I'm not sure what you would add. I mean, but things to take away are definitely grinding, like I've said.
Right.
Really extended cutscenes that don't really have any interesting visuals. It's just text, a lot of text.
And you don't see that
sort of boring.
You don't see that super much anymore. A little bit.
I mean, you see it a little bit, but drawn out scenes are a no. Maybe one or two, but not a lot. I'm not sure if there'd be any party system or not. Sometimes that's fun. Sometimes that's not.
Would a more variety of tasks that you could do?
Side quests?
Well, not so much side quests, but just in general. Maybe not even stuff where you have to go anywhere. Just like a extremely large variety of tasks that you could pick and choose from so that you never felt like you were doing the same thing over and over again.
Yeah, I could see that working.
Like MMO-like, but confined in something smaller than Skyrim.
Okay.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
What do you think about all that, John?
That's not too bad. I think something in terms of building your skill, building your level, there should be some pretty decent rewards for if you have to grind. If we find that is something that's sort of unavoidable to have some sort of even low level grinding, there should be some reward to drive you, to motivate you to keep doing it. More so, but. As accompanying having it not feel like you're working too hard at it, but that you get the piece of cheese to keep you going.
Well, the one thing that I really really like about Guild Wars, and part of the reason I didn't bitch about crafting and what I've been playing, is usually in games it's more to your advantage to learn crafting or blacksmithing or metalworking or whatever after you've gotten to a higher level. In reality, because of the experience points you get for crafting, and there's so many to choose from, it's actually more advantageous in Guild Wars for you to do it while you're leveling your character up through. And so there are more things for you to do to gain levels in Guild Wars, like the events I was talking about last week, instances, all stuff you can do with other people. You don't have to do it alone, and so you don't feel like you're trudging. I think the big key would be to make everything give you experience. And I also agree with Glacenhater. I thought about it, actually. I went back and thought again. Actually, Kingdom of Amulet Reckoning was pretty bad about dialogue that you couldn't skip. So I think we'll go with wide variety of things for you to do. Now, here's where the part comes in that could be fun. And I'll direct this kind of back at you, Glaze, because John plays RPGs. What about adding some simulation elements from something like Animal Crossing, Viva Pinata, what the hell's the other one? Pokemon.
Yes, collecting are all the fun things to do in those games. So maybe a system that awards you for collecting certain things.
Right, so there would be, especially since it's top-down, so like collect 6 jars of marshmallow fat. Hey, I played an RPG once and a marshmallow was an enemy and you got marshmallow fat from it. And just the names, I wish Gun Sage was here because the name's escaping me, but it does exist. I'm not completely insane, I'm only partially insane. Okay, so I like that. So the collections thing on, I can't, you know, you'd actually like crafting in MMOs then. Yes, you have to do the hack and slash bit, but that is like 3/4 of crafting is collecting stuff.
Yeah, half of the collecting would be from enemies, and the other half would just be scattered throughout the world, employing the use of traveling or something to find the items.
Ooh, I know what you could do. You know how you have to get stars out of the tree in Scribblenauts?
Mm-hmm.
Find some way that's not like, you know, cutting the tree down or maybe you could just whack the tree like you want to get an apple out of it. You know, yeah, instead of climbing on a ladder or something. Maybe like searching the bushes. That's actually, believe it or not, another one in Guild Wars. Sometimes you have to look at the suspicious bush. Occasionally there's a friendly thing in there and it just walks off on its own merry way, and occasionally there's a bandit in there that wants to kick your ass. So I like that. I like the concept of making stuff, just paying attention and collecting, you know. And that would cut down on, if you made it, you know, a really significant part of the game, that would cut down on the hack and slash, so you wouldn't have to do so many rinse and repeat fights.
You have the option for both. If you want just to kill or do whatever to enemies, you could do that to level up, or you could be a collecting person and find stuff to level up.
Okay, so we got that down. And the other thing, too, that is of utmost importance, and I, Glace, again, I know you'll agree with this. Actually, John will, and I know I will, because I like it. You need a Dungeon Siege-like, but much more prominent, lighted, or Fable, too, lighted path to your objectives.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And I'm not talking just when you're walking in the game world, on the map as well. You know, like the cheesy cartoon pirate map that shows all the red dots and then the, you know, the red dashes and then the X.
Mm-hmm.
But have it be something you can turn on and turn off. Like the yellow line or whatever the hell it is in Fable, the kind of dotted stardust line thing.
Like in normal mode, it's there. In hard mode, it's not there.
I don't even think I want to do that. I think you just want to make it clickable. Like you can turn it on, turn it off.
Or toggle.
Depending on toggle. Thank you. The depending on what you feel like doing.
Okay.
So now comes the fun-ish part. Well, the part that might turn into naked midgets. A main character. Dead silence. we need it.
What kind of sim is it, though? We don't know that yet.
Well, we're going to find that out when we do the main character, I think, the way this is kind of smashed together in my brain. Is the main character animal, humanoid, mineral, vegetable, or some other crazy thing? And I'm not going first because I'm not influencing this, and we all know what a loon I am. John,
not human. Not human. I'm throwing that out there right now.
I'm kind of, yeah, me too. John, what do you think?
Non-human. Hmm.
Well, no. You don't have to agree with Glacinator and I.
No. That was my answer. That was what I was
okay.
I was trying to imagine what that might be. So you're thinking like some sort of, what's the word? Anthropomorphic, you know, like Animal Crossing.
Potentially furry-like, yes.
A game of furries. Hmm.
No, we're not doing a game of furries. By the way, there is a furry con. For those of you that were listening last week and want to be terrified like I was, and Glacinator told me so, I looked up to see if there was a furry con, and sure, it's like called something like... I'm not making this up. It was like, what was it, Glace? Like Anamorphicon or something? It had something that was like anamorphic.
I don't remember.
Look it up on Facebook while I'm babbling. I can't. Never mind. No, nobody cares. Okay, so since we want to kind of stay away from the furry jokes, maybe, what other objects could we, non-human objects, could we bring to life that would be potentially entertaining?
Yeah, I was thinking inanimate objects.
Me too.
Inanimate objects. Explain.
Like a toaster or something.
Exactly. How about a toaster?
am I wrong in making the assumption for an RPG are we not talking swords and shields and stuff, or are we?
Well, how come a toaster can't use a sword? It's a video game.
It's used a spatula.
That's all right, actually.
Okay, so we have. I'm trying to think of any web comics have done this. So if this ever sees the light of day, nobody's in trouble. Even if somebody steals the idea from us. Okay, so we have no. Penny Arcade did the DivX player. Okay, so we have a toaster. Now, a toaster that wields a King Arthur like spatula, meaning it's like, what the hell was the name of King Arthur's sword?
Excalibur.
Thank you. So it's the Excalibur of spatulas. I'm really glad Glacinator's almost as weird as I am, because this is awesome. Is it like a proportional toaster? Meaning it just all of a sudden got legs and arms somehow. Maybe it was working in a lab late at night and there was a freak accident with high voltage or acid or something. Or are we going to make it like a big toaster?
Like, I think it should be the size of a toaster. I mean, it doesn't have to have legs. It can, like, hop on its sides, and its arms can be the levers you push down.
So you don't even want to give it, like, arms and legs? Like the.
It'll have eyes and a face.
I know what... I'll let you chime in here in a second, John. I know what we need to do with it, Glace. It needs tank tracks.
Yes. I'm drawing this right now.
Okay. This is gonna be all. Okay, so it's a toaster with tank tracks that wields a spatula.
Yes.
Does it do? Okay, John, do you have anything else you'd like to add? Maybe armament, weapons, anything else this thing does?
I'm trying to think how you could work in for a shield, like the top of a pot, a cover of a pot. You know, where it has that the handle.
The handle that you grab.
Yeah, not the handle of the pot, but like the cover of a pot, you know, has the small handle and it's circular and appropriately, you know, sized and circular shaped. But the thing is, if a toaster is alive, is a pot alive? You know what I mean? Like, what are the parameters here? Are we talking?
What the hell was the name of that first-person futuristic shooter where all of your equipment had a spirit? Oh, God. Control-Alt-Delete guy did a hilarious comic about it. I can't think of the name of it now. It's been too far back. So, Well, okay, so you want the toaster to use a pot lid as a shield-esque kind of thing.
Yeah, just because it's, you know, inanimate kitchen item, you know.
Go ahead.
I'm trying to get my thoughts in order, like.
Well, go ahead. Think about it a little more, and we'll come back to you. We know we want to put a pot lid as a shield of some type.
Yep.
Here's the thing. It's even in RPGs, you have like power ups. Like you hit enough combos, or you do enough things, you can do like a super attack. Here's its super attack: flaming toast, shooting out of the top of the toaster.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we can have different attacks for each of the main four buttons on the controller. You know, the B attack could be the spatula. You know, the Y attack could be like it could whip its electrical cord around or something. And then the X can be the super attack or a shield.
Yeah, and things you can collect would be various pastries and breads. You know, like the different, depending on, and each different kind of bread or, you know, a toaster strudel would have more attack power than just, you know, a plain English muffin. That kind of thing.
And that would be part of your collectibles.
Yeah, exactly. And in your sub-menu brought up by the Y button, you'd see your collectible list and one line would be all the pastry weapons that you could find.
And to add more of an RPG element that the more hardcore would, like Gunsage and I would like, you could collect other things from dead enemies, say, or collecting, to craft better casings for your toaster. Mm-hmm. More powerful attacks from the toaster, better tank tracks,
better springs for the projecting.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay, so is this going to be because we're going to have like a 3-hour show if we're not careful? Is this going to be a solo kitchen appliance as the hero, or are we going to go more a la Final Fantasy series where you collect other kitchen implements along the way?
I think that it should be 4-player co-op, and each controller or each character, and each player can be a different character.
Okay.
Characters.
Okay. So we're now looking at, let's update this because I want to get all four characters out quickly, like different kitchen appliances. But let's update this. So kind of, it's simulation, which would be the collecting, and you probably could figure out other. We could probably find other mini games and things from the simulation world. Like maybe you got to build a gingerbread house for a homeless family or something. and you can level up that way. So we're looking at kind of like the setting should almost be Candyland, shouldn't it?
Pretty close.
Isk. Well, anything that avoids lawsuit from Park.
yeah, that too. But yeah.
Okay. So we're talking like it should be like a pastry fantasy world.
Yeah, it would definitely be food based. I think the pastries, the pastry park works for the toaster. But if you have a 4-player co-op, then the other guys may need to have their own set of, like the blender, you know, the wise old blender might not care about, you know, pumpernickel.
Well, right, but what I'm saying is the setting, the world should be thematic. Like you shouldn't throw them in a Dungeons and Dragons universe.
Yeah. It'd be relative to whatever kitchen appliances are in the game.
And there'd be an old guy telling you don't go up Chocolate Mountain because that never ends well.
And within like the major appliances become the bosses, like the vacuum cleaner.
Well, we'll get to that. So for four player co-op, but can you play this solo, or we're gonna make it a co-op only game?
You can play it solo.
Okay, because
multiplayer option is there.
Okay.
Are we talking bots here? We're talking bots for the other players.
Yeah. No, we need to swipe that from Left 4 Dead. Except our bots need to be smarter than the fuckers from Left 4 Dead. The AI needs to be. See, it's just like I thought. The easy part's coming up with the concept. Making any of this reality would be a fucking nightmare, would be my guess. Okay, so before we get too sidetracked, what is our second character then?
I think the blender was a good idea.
I do too.
Yeah, either the a blender or an egg beater, because then like an egg beater can take the two, you know, swirling beaters and like, you know, be the close-in attack person, you know, like the toaster becomes the projectile from a distance fighter, maybe in you know, not it's a whole regard, but some of it, and the egg beater gets in close for the you know, two-pronged attack, you know, grinding and like a, you know, a chainsaw, but an egg beater.
Hold on. Are you okay with it? I'm going to put the egg beater down as like the tank, which would be what you're talking about, paladin class, something like that.
Yeah.
And the blender would be like the priest, except margaritas are healing potions.
Yeah, that's great.
Or you could go, yeah, if you don't like to drink smoothies, like energy smoothies or whatever could be. Okay, so the toaster's like a ranger. That's not, there was no pun intended to that. It's like your ranged guy. The blender is like your healer. The egg beater is like your tank. We need either one more close-in fighter or one more. We need a mage. We need a magician or a mage is what we need. What kind of household appliance speaks to you as a magic user?
We have to make sure it's a small scale appliance. It can't be a major like a stove.
Right. It can't be a refrigerator.
Proportionally sized to the other appliances.
This is a little big, but it has the potential because you could go with the nuclear angle since it uses radiation. What about a microwave?
Microwave could work. Be kind of big.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. It'd be the biggest mage in history because usually they're smaller than. Okay, well, give me something else then. Something that as ludicrous as this whole concept is, could be potentially seen as a mage.
I would have said coffee maker, but you've already got the blender making up energy drinks and potions.
Toaster, blender. Fuck, there's got to be some other kind of household appliance that would make a good.
I could roll some stuff.
Okay. All right, so we're getting one more character together. It could be single player or four player co-op, a la Left 4 Dead. We have simulation elements which you could easily add in. It's top down 3D. It's also got RPG elements. The button mappings would be mappings? Jesus. Button mappings would be easy. There would be jump, wide variety so the people that don't like RPGs could get into it, including a good path. Okay, well, Glacier is looking up our fourth hero. What's our enemy? What's going to be the evil overlord boss-like dude that's trying to hold down the other kitchen appliances and pastries and things?
Bathroom appliances.
Hair dryer?
No, that's too similar.
Well, no. Maybe
if we use the bigger kitchen appliances that we couldn't use, like the refrigerator.
But the refrigerator's kind of been done, like Pee Wee Herman and that kind of stuff. There's been I can't even say that fucking word. There's been inanimate refrigerators brought to life before. Toilet. Why not a toilet for the main boss?
He's
got a plunger and other. I'm not going to say turd, but he could shoot projectiles, and he's got a plunger that, like, sticks to your face and knocks you out or something.
Mm-hmm. And he's hooked to the plumbing, so he has an unlimited supply of, you know, of ammo and water. And but it's not very mobile is the problem.
Well, again, it's a video game. We can make him mobile. He's still got... Well, you know, there have been bosses, and we're talking like end game folks. Well, you'd have to spend hours coming up with other assorted, you know, things for you to kill and deal with before. You know, there have been limited mobility bosses. Here's what you could do: you could hook him up to a hose, so he has a radius. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? It's not like he's stuck in one place. I was trying to think of a good boss that was like a. It'd be like a worm or something. Like I think he had to kill a big worm in didn't you have to kill a big worm in Bulletstorm?
Probably.
Wasn't that the final boss, I think? I don't remember now.
It was something big.
Yeah, but it had a limited radius.
Yeah.
Hey, that's it. Let's make it a toilet worm. like he's a toilet, but he's got a giant hose, so he's got the unlimited amount of water, and you kind of just morph him into this like toilet worm. And he could go underground and pop up at you at different things, and like all you'd see is the toilet lid kind of talking, or you know, kind of like making a mouth at you.
You hear the flush sound to be your indicator that he's about to attack.
That's, yeah, perfect. Okay, so toilet-ish worm as the end boss kind of thing. Did we ever decide what a fourth...
Some other things are like a tea kettle, a waffle maker.
Ooh! That's it. We'll go with another tank, and it's a waffle iron. And he just, like, claps you. Like, he's animated, and he kind of hops around using the clapper thing.
He's got, like, little teeth.
Right. Waffle iron with teeth. And he just... He's like one of the face huggers from Aliens. He hops up, and he gets a hold of you, and you gotta, like...
He just drains energy.
Right. And then he uses that energy for a future attack, so he could kind of be like a tank slash mage.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Waffle iron. So, okay. So, we have this, and if you guys actually like this, because this is where we're going to kind of rope it in after I give these guys any final thoughts that they have. If you like what we did here, we can revisit this and flesh it out even more with like supporting characters and races and other things. Because while yes, we do give developers too much crap, and they do have a difficult job. This is how games potentially should be made. is not letting your imagination be stifled. I think we kind of answered two questions here. Does this mean mechanically we could make this game? No. And that is not something I've ever picked on developers about. They do work extremely hard. Any final thoughts, gentlemen? Anything, final things you'd like to add to what we have so far before we...
Well, how is it a sim, though?
Well, there's never really been any clear definition of a sim, though. Maybe the whole thing's a simulation that you're playing in an arcade. Meaning, like, the end game, which I just gave away, is you're actually playing a sim about an RPG about kitchen utensils.
Could you have a sort of a thing where the sim becomes, you know, in terms of the mundane tasks you sometimes see in sims, where when... cribbing a little bit from Toy Story, when the people are home, you kind of do the usual at home stuff. I don't know how exciting that could be being a toaster, but you know what I mean. Like, but then when the cat's away, the mice then play, and then things start turning more RPG.
Sort of like a Chibi Robo sort of.
A little bit, I guess. Yeah, a little bit.
Wait a minute. Instead of Candyland, like setting. What about making the open world the house?
The house.
And it is kind of Toy Story-esque, where when all humans are out, there's this giant battle from kitchen appliances versus like bathroom / living room appliances. And you still have to do all the RPG things to level up whichever side you choose or whichever four characters you choose. But at the same time, though, and the house could be monstrous,
mm-hmm.
as far as how big you want to make the world. Does that satisfy your simulation angle there a little more, Gleisnader?
Yeah, that makes more sense as an environment.
Okay, so that's where we're going to leave it for now.
Yeah, I think we'd have to flush out a little bit more how you make that part of the sim a little more interesting. As you know, I mean, in all honesty, you know, a toaster is a very single task-oriented item, you know?
Well, I don't know if you'd necessarily... Well, one of two things could happen. You could just make sure that the RPG is fun for people like Pat and Glacinator to play.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's so ludicrous what you're using. So it's more the spirit of a simulation like Animal Crossing, which obviously delves into things that don't exist in our world. Or you could work out the simulation bugs of waiting until the time is right to attack the evil toilet worm at a later date. So, but here's the thing, audience. If you liked us doing this segment versus some of the other stuff we do, then all you got to do is let us know, and we'll pick this back up. We may, whether you like it or not, in the next couple, 3 weeks. But so there you go. We've believe it or not, I don't know how you guys feel, but I think we got way further, and that was more entertaining than I thought it might be.
Yeah, that's pretty good. We've taken the baby steps of game development.
And Glacinator is now going to draw some things that'll give somebody nightmares.
I got the toaster done.
Cool. So if you have found the show and this is your first time listening to it, there's several ways you can get it. One is iTunes. Just search for us, because we're not cool enough to be in apparently iTunes' archaic algorithm. We're also hosted at archive.org. It's where I put the show every week. You can go there, search for WonderPod if you don't like iTunes. We also have a Facebook where you usually find those links I just mentioned. The Facebook is wonderpodonline.com. We also have a website that is actually wonderpodonline.com. The Facebook's just wonderpodonline. My apologies. In addition to this podcast at the site, there's also posts about wrestling from G and from John occasionally and from various other people. Pat does his iPhone games. I do various and sundry things, sometimes videos, sometimes editorials that are too long and nobody reads them, and I don't blame them because they're too long. Glacinator does playthrough videos. It's all kinds of eclectic stuff. It's fun to check that out. And on top of that, I post this podcast there, obviously. The reason I'm still babbling about that is because if you don't like MP3 files, there's an embedded player. We have YouTube channels. Glacinator has one. I have one. 36 We, Mr. Patman has one. And that's enough. We have an email address. It's wonderpodonline@gmail.com. wonderpodonline@gmail.com. Or you can follow us on Twitter @wonderpodonline. Or you can follow me on Twitter @ORIGIM. Or you can follow John on Twitter @JohnKehoe,
JohnKehoe.
Until episode 127, I am Bruce McGee. I'm off to find a toaster and see if I can do that. See you, people.
This is John signing off, old as a pterodactyl.
See you later, guys.